Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. We begin today by acknowledging, and yes, by grieving, the death of Congressman Elijah Cummings of Baltimore. Unexpected, at least to most people, at the age of 68 this morning from complications from heart and knee infection issues, reportedly. I want to play a few clips. He was much in the news this year for his role as chairman of the Oversight Committee, which is one of those investigating the president's behavior. But he was also the lead Democrat supporting Hillary Clinton, or at least the lead Democrat offering a counterpoint to the Republicans on the Benghazi Committee in 2015, when he famously asked this question.
The question also becomes whether this is a taxpayer-funded effort to derail the candidacy of Hillary Clinton.
That was in 2015. So is this. The congressman gave a eulogy for Freddie Gray at the funeral of the 25-year-old from Baltimore who died of a broken neck and related injuries in police custody. The audio on this is informal, recorded apparently by somebody else who is in that church, and so it's not great audio, but it's classic and important Elijah Cummings, as he acknowledged all the TV cameras that were there on that day.
As I thought about the cameras, I wondered, did anybody recognize Freddie when he was alive? It said, Freddie joined the Rural Light Missionary Baptist Church in 2001, where he joined the youth choir and was a junior usher. Did you see it? He loved church, sponsored events, the latest fashions and sports. He played football with the Sandtown Wolverines. Did you see it? I've often said that our children are the living messages we send to a future we will never see. But now our children are sending us to a future they will never see. There's something wrong with that picture.
Elijah Cummings at Freddie Gray's funeral. On the other side, kinda, it surprised many people this year during the Michael Cohen testimony, remember that, before Cummings' committee, when an issue arose of Republican Congressman Mark Meadows' use of a black Trump appointee as kind of a racial prop after Cohen accused Trump of racism. And Cummings, surprising to many, came to Mark Meadows' defense.
If there's anyone who is sensitive with regard to race, it's me, son of former sharecroppers that were basically slaves. So I get it. I listened very carefully to Ms. Tlaib, and I think, and I don't want to, I'm not going to put words in her mouth, but I think she said that she was not calling you a racist. And I thought that we could clarify that. Because you, Mr. Meadows, you know, and of all the people on this committee, I've said it and got in trouble for it, that you're one of my best friends. I know that shocks a lot of people.
Elijah Cummings, earlier this year. With me now, Congressman Emanuel Cleaver, represents the 5th District of Missouri. He's also a United Methodist pastor. And Michael Eric Dyson, Georgetown sociology professor New York Times contributing opinion writer and author of books, including his latest, What Truth Sounds Like, and the forthcoming Jay-Z, Made in America. Professor Dyson, welcome back. Congressman Cleaver, thank you so much for joining us on WNYC today, and I'm so sorry it's under these circumstances.
Glad to be with you. Great to be here.
Congressman, would you start and tell our listeners what to you is important about the life of Elijah Cummings?
Well, most importantly, at least on me right now, is that I had Marsha Fudge, Congresswoman Fudge, and I had a conversation at the last vote yesterday, and I told her she was asking about him, and I said, I'll call him in the morning. He told me to call him early in the morning. And so I had received a phone call telling me that early this morning that he had indeed passed. And, you know, when I was chair of the Congressional Black Caucus, I did something that we had not done previously, but I thought it was the right thing to do, and my colleagues went along with it, and that was to honor Congressman Cummings with our highest award at our Phoenix dinner, which Professor Dyson has addressed. He went out of his way trying to thank me for doing that and felt that, you know, that he was not in the league to receive that award, and for me it meant that was even more of a reason to do it, because the smaller we are, the more room we have for God, and he was not some guy who tried to pump himself up. He was a down to earth guy, still living in the same house he grew up in. And I have a great deal of love for him, and now I'm having a great deal of pain because of the esteem in which I carried him.
I'm sure. Michael Eric Dyson, would you talk about what was important to you about the life of Elijah Cummings and to America?
Well, Representative Cleaver is also one of our most remarkable orators and preachers. And in the way I used to joke with Elijah Cummings, I said, you're nothing but a bootleg Baptist preacher.
Absolutely. I didn't tell him the same thing.
Because he was a fiery orator, growing out of the prophetic tradition of African-American religious concern with justice. He would often come hear me preach at Howard University. I was always humbled and honored by his presence there. As Representative Cleaver has indicated, he was an extremely humble man. Self-effacing to a certain degree, but he was deeply invested in a righteous narrative of truth and justice for the least of these. And he was often better than the people who called themselves his friends, and he was able to rise above the narrow, bigoted, vicious partisanship of that Congress, even while he maintained his own grip on his beliefs. Look at how the nefarious, ill-begotten president of the United States of America mistreated this American hero. And he wasn't worthy of carrying the sandals of this great prophet. That is, President Trump not being able to carry the sandals of Congressman Elijah Cummings. But notice how he didn't respond in rancor, in anger, in viciousness, in vituperation or nastiness. He simply acted as a statesman. He modeled for Donald Trump what a politician should behave like in the face of opposition. And I know that his famous, friendship with Congressman Meadows was highlighted recently. I honestly think that Representative Meadows should have come more aggressively to the defense of Elijah Cummings. He Amen. Was better than those who claimed to be part of his friendship circle, even across the aisle. But he was a noble soul, committed to telling the truth, and committed to helping those who were most vulnerable.
Congressman Cleaver, would you elaborate on, after we listen to that clip from the Michael Cohen hearing, how, if you know, Congressman Cummings came to be good friends with this leader of the Freedom Caucus, Mark Meadows?
Well, Congressman Cummings, I don't know of anybody that he disliked in terms of their somebodiness. He, as would most many members of the clergy, and I agree with Dr. Dyson, he was a bootleg preacher, and I told him about it all the time. That you know, his mom was a preacher in Holiness Church, and so I think he tried desperately to live out his faith, and he did with Mark Meadows, who I was a little disappointed with because when Donald Trump attacked not only Elijah Cummings, he attacked his neighborhood, the place where he grew up, which means he also was insulting Americans. Here's the President of the United States attacking other Americans. And I was really, really upset with the President. In fact, I said on Fox that it was the President's attack on Elijah Cummings that moved me toward impeachment. I was trying to hold out until the last minute because I felt like our country is so badly divided. But when he was attacked by the President, I went on Neil Cavuto's show, and I said publicly that that's what caused it. And he said, well, you can't impeach him for that. And I said, well, that's where I am. I said, I know I can't impeach him for that, but I'm just telling you where I stand. So I think, this guy was a forgiving person. There were not a lot of people who could take that and not go out and attack back. I think when you look at Elijah Cummings over the last few months, I would say quickly and easily, it's better to be in a wheelchair on the right road than in a limousine on the wrong road. And I think that is a contrast between Elijah Cummings and not only Mark Meadows, but the President of the United States as well.
Since you both brought up President Trump's attacks on Cummings, which obviously were because Cummings was chairing the Oversight Committee in hearings like the Michael Cohen hearing. Michael Eric Dyson, what's your response? What's the proper response, in your opinion, when Trump criticizes any urban lawmaker and says, look at all the problems in your city, in your district, poverty, crime, et cetera. You must be a failure. What's the right response, in your opinion?
Well, the right response is what Congressman Cummings did. Keep doing the work. Put your nose to the grindstone. Keep doing what you're already doing. Don't let Donald Trump dominate the narrative. Now, at the same time, there are ways to fight back. You've got to create a counter-narrative. You've got to fight power where you are. But his most important and significant intervention, besides his everyday engagement with the grassroots and his reflecting their tenor and tone, their passion and perspective in his fight in Congress, was to do what he was doing on the Oversight Committee. It's to win the game of chess, not checkers. Donald Trump is preoccupied with checkers. He's constantly trying to get the immediate gratification of a zinger. He uses his bully pulpit to bully people and to intimidate them. Elijah Cummings was a giant, so he rose above that. But he also understood that the most effective response to President Trump was to situate him inside of a political narrative that could hold him accountable for his misdeeds. The immediate gratification would be to respond to him in kind. The greater gratification is to put him in a broader perspective and then hold him accountable in a way that ultimately could lead to his impeachment, or at least, to his legal or political accountability before the court or the bar of the Congress. So in that sense, Elijah Cummings played chess in a majestic fashion. And look, he's met bigger bullies in his life than Donald Trump. He was the son of sharecroppers. You think after having dealt with the ignominious consequence of poverty and rising as high as he did, that he didn't meet people who were as intimidating and vicious as Donald Trump or even more? Without the kind of political resource he presently had, that was nothing to him. He was able to rise above that and be a statesman, and Donald Trump on his best day could hope that he could measure up to 1/50th of what Elijah Cummings represented.
Congressman Cleaver, last thing, no one will fill his shoes, but who will fill his position as the Oversight Committee chair at such a crucial time?
Well, that's frankly, someone on my staff asked me that earlier, and I haven't even gotten to look at who was second behind the chair, the ranking Democrat behind him. But you know, it's going to be difficult. But because we're trying to fill his role, I think more is going to be taken into consideration than seniority. We're in the most critical time, I think, in the nation's history, not just the last few years of modern America. And I don't think we can afford to put somebody in there who will blow it. And Elijah Cummings is the right guy.
So you will look for the right person, not just go by seniority. Would you expand for just a moment on saying that this may be the most critical time in the nation's history? We've been through the Depression and the Civil War and name your huge national crisis from American history. What makes this a candidate for on par with those?
Thomas Jefferson, as well as George Washington, wrote extensively, Jefferson wrote extensively, about his greatest fear, which was that Europe, European nations, would try to get a foothold on our government and would try to recapture this land by putting somebody, having somebody in a position of power. Look, I don't know all of what's going on with Russia and with Ukraine. I think we're going to find out a lot of it. We may never find out all of it. But I can tell you that at no point in the almost 250-year history of the United States was there any concern that an outside entity was trying to influence our government. And the sycophants who run around supporting Donald Trump are forgetting that this is not some political differences being expressed. This is people challenging our enemy, Russia, from having influence in our government. And let me just make sure that your listeners understand this. Nobody has been able to explain the situation with Turkey. Nobody. And Senator Graham, supposed to be one of his closest friends and allies, can't explain what just happened. I'm not going to say anything on the radio except that I want you and your audience to remember that nobody has been able to explain why we would abandon the Kurds who've been by our side and who've lost 11,000 of their own people. And all of a sudden, nobody, not the Chief Joint Chiefs of Staff, nobody has been able to turn Donald Trump around on this. Remember it, because I think that before it's over, the curtain will be drawn and we'll see exactly who's in the White House.
Emanuel Cleaver, Congressman from Missouri's 5th District, that's the Kansas City area, and Michael Eric Dyson, Georgetown Sociology Professor, thank you both very much for coming on and especially for remembering Congressman Elijah Cummings.
Good to be
with you.